That's real good. All right, if you have your Bible, turn to Genesis 37 with me this morning, please. Verse 1, chapter number 37, the book of Genesis, verse number 1. Genesis 37, verse 1. The divine text says, "And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah, with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age. And he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peacefully to him. Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. He said unto them, Hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose, and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood round about, and made obeisance to my sheaf. His brethren said to him, Shalt thou indeed reign over us, or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. He dreamed yet another dream and told his brethren, said, Behold, I have dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. And he told it to his father and to his brethren, and his father rebuked him and said unto him, What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth? And his brethren envied him. But his father observed the saying. Father, bless your holy word now, Lord, to the hearing of the people. And I pray for unction to preach it this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. I call your attention to verse number 3 of Genesis 37. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age. And he made him a coat of many colors. For those of you who don't know, I told the church the other day that they have found a house in Egypt that definitely belonged to someone who was of high stature. They have found a seat in Egypt where someone sat on that seat, and a statue on that seat. And the statue has a coat of many colors. That's quite a remarkable find in the land of Egypt. Every time the archaeologist's spade goes into the ground, all he can ever do is corroborate and support the Word of God. They have never found anything that would cast any doubt upon the Scripture. The Word of God is true from cover to cover. Here in the book of Genesis is the story of Joseph. He's one of the most unique people in all the Bible. As has been pointed out many times before, there is no individual in the Bible, for an individual, that is more like Christ than Joseph. He's quite a remarkable individual in the time that he lived, the son of Jacob. And the son of Jacob was sent off into slavery, was sold. And while he was there, God was with him and began to manifest himself in the life of Joseph. I'm going to preach a little bit to you this morning about Joseph and some of the things that he endured and how God worked in his life. Hopefully, this kind of instruction will help you as you begin to understand how God does work in our lives. And sometimes he doesn't change the circumstances, but he changes the person. Here in the book of Genesis, chapter number 37, the Bible says that Joseph is a dreamer. And being a dreamer, it got him in trouble. And it got him in trouble with his siblings, and it got him in trouble with his father. But he's still a dreamer. And I had rather have a dreamer any day of the week than one who has no vision. For the Bible says, without a vision, our people are going to perish. And that's exactly what's happening to the church today. It's dying because it has no vision. But the Bible tells us here that Joseph's dreams cost him and got him into trouble. And so therefore, what we read from this is that even though Joseph had wonderful, marvelous dreams, they were broken. Because these things did not happen immediately as he saw them in his life. It took time for these things to come to pass, exactly as God said they would. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs chapter 18 and verse number 14, "The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit, who can bear it?" You see, every one of us in this house, if we're born again, are spirit beings that have been born again. You're not a soul and you're not a body. You're a spirit being. And it's important to understand the nature of what makes us what we are. We here in this Western world are so covered around, so much materialism around us, that we judge our lives from all the stuff we pile up about us. And therefore, the only two things most of the time that are really affected in our lives are our flesh and our soul. Amen. The soul is affected by outside stimulus, by the music you hear, by the people you're with, the job you're working, the environment you're around. It can cause you to feel good or can cause you to feel bad. Therefore, your soul directly relates to the circumstances in your life. Your flesh can be moved by lust, by greed, by all the things that moves the flesh. Your flesh can be touched with these things. And so an individual living in America today is being assaulted from every side in his soul and in his flesh. But the Bible says that we are spirit beings. And the spirit is not affected so much by what comes from the outside as it is for what it is from the inside. The spirit of a man will sustain that man regardless of the outside stimulus, regardless of the circumstances around him. But inside, if that man's spirit is being upheld by the hand of the Lord, he's going to be okay with the circumstances that he's in. So the Bible tells us in the book of Proverbs that if your spirit ever does become wounded, it doesn't make any difference the outside stimulus. It doesn't make any difference how you feel inside. That you're going to feel a defeated life. You're going to live a defeated life because there is no power of God rising up inside your being. I am a born again believer. I know whom I have believed. I am standing on a firm foundation today. My circumstances may change before the sun goes down, but it's not going to change what's inside me and who I am. When Joseph was sold into slavery and his dreams came crushing down, his spirit still sustained him because of the Lord God that he knew. Even though that he was sold to Ishmaelites and Midianites who took him down to Egypt, and then they resold him to Potiphar, he still had the Lord God with him, regardless of the circumstances that changed in his life. He was sold to slave traders. In my book, there is nobody on the face of this earth that is lower than a slave trader. Amen. It is somebody that deals in the buying and selling of human flesh. This is going on at this very minute. You go around this world and you'll find people who are still enslaving other people and selling them as a piece of property. That's as low as you get. That's what John Newton was. He was a slave trader in England. And he used to go out on slave ships and go to Africa and load it up with people and carry them off to be sold into the Caribbean and other places as slaves till he met God. And the day that John Newton was born again, he wrote a song. And he said, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me." He realized what a wretch he was because he was a slave trader. He was dealing in human flesh. And so his brethren, his own brothers, sold him into slavery. How, my friend, of a despicable thing, worse could be, I cannot imagine. How in the world could he ever be reconciled to a family like that, who wanted to kill him, and had it not been for Reuben stepping in, they would have killed him. But Reuben was the oldest brother. He knew he'd be held accountable. And so he talked them into selling Joseph into slavery. And so they sold him. And he was carried off into a foreign land. You think, well, preacher, he was a dreamer. Yes, he was.
You say, preacher, his father made a coat of many colors for him. Yes, he did. But for a long time, Joseph did not realize the great blessing that God had put upon his life until he really began to see how he moved in his life. You see, my friend, men can stab you in the back. They can cut your throat. They can turn your friends against you. They can turn everybody against you. But they cannot change who God is in your life. When God has blessed you, you cannot be cursed. I was going through my library the other day and I got a hold of a book that I'd seen in there years ago. And it said, it's written by a Christian author and it's supposed to be written to Christians. And the title of the book is this, Cursed and Don't Know It. And my friend, let me tell you something. The man that wrote that is no doubt a good man. And no doubt that he loves the Lord. But he is as ignorant as he could possibly be. For there is no way that a child of God, if you're born again, you cannot be cursed. God has blessed you. He has blessed you with spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You are sealed by the Holy Spirit of God till the day of redemption. You are in the Lord Jesus Christ. And my friend, nobody can pluck you from his hand. How could you be cursed? You'd have to curse Christ. And my friend, curse the thought that you could curse Christ. No, you can't touch him. Even in the Old Testament when you had Job. And Job wasn't even a born again believer. When Satan came before God, he said, you built a hedge about him. I can't get to him. Well, I'll tell you something, folks. There's more than a hedge about me. I have been sealed by the Holy Ghost of God. There's no way that you can curse the preacher. So if you're out there trying to curse the preacher, the curse is going to come right back on your head. And it'll come back to the one who sent it out. Aren't you glad? You can be blessed. Well, now when Joseph was sold out into Egypt, he was separated from his family. He was separated from his brethren, separated from his mother, separated from his father. But he took his God with him. You see, you can't take God away from you. They can take your money away from you. They can take your home away from you. They can take your clothes away from you. They can take everything you got away from you. But they can't take your God. Amen. You remember the story over there in the book of Genesis where they stole Rebekah's gods and they stole Laban's gods and they had Laban's gods packed away in their mules and they carried them off and the poor fellow came and he said, you got my gods. What'd you do with them? I thought to myself, what a sad thing. If a man's got to hunt his gods down and he's got to get his gods back, you're in bad shape today. Amen. If I've got to prop my God up and wash him off and stick him somewhere and take care of him and build something around him, I got a pitiful God. No, he takes care of me. He washes me off. He props me up. He takes care of me. I don't need to take care of him. God doesn't need one thing that I've got. And so Joseph was sold down into Egypt. Now when it all started, it looked bad. No doubt about everything about it was bad. I mean, here these young men, they wanted to sell him. They hated him. They hated him because of the dreams he had. They hated him because the Bible says his dad made a coat of many colors and gave it to him. But there was something special about Joseph. When you read in the book of Genesis, it said that he was a goodly person. You look that up in the Hebrew text and you'll find out that that word goodly doesn't necessarily mean that he was a good man in the sense that he was a moral man. It meant that he was a beautiful man. It meant that he was a very attractive man. It meant that he had all the build. He had all of the appearance of a very virile, strong, good-looking man. And this was Joseph. He was blessed of God. And so when he walked among his brethren and they looked upon him, they knew he was different. They knew he was absolutely, completely different from all the rest of them. He had the hand of God upon him. And so when he was sold into the house of Potiphar, he became one of his slaves. But it didn't take long in the house of Potiphar for Potiphar to realize that God was blessing him because of Joseph. It didn't take him long to realize that Joseph was different. He was special. And because that God had his hand upon him, the Bible says that Potiphar elevated Joseph to a high position in his house. As a matter of fact, The scripture says that Potiphar put Joseph over everything that he had. Now, I want you to think about it for just a moment. Your life may not be where you want it to be. The circumstances in your life may not be what you want them to be. And you may think, well, now God has forsaken me. No, God is working with you. God is molding you. God is making you. He's preparing you. He wants you to have something, but in order for you to have it, He's got to make you ready for it. And you'll notice the progressive way that God exalts Joseph. You'll notice that it is in stages. He first goes to the house of Potiphar. In the house of Potiphar, he doesn't take him long to understand God's with him. God's blessing him. So he puts him over all that he has. But Potiphar's got a wife. And Potiphar's wife lays her eyes upon Joseph. Remember I told you, go look it up when you get home this afternoon. She looked upon this man and she was immediately taken with his good looks. She was drawn to him. And then she took hold of him one day and said, come lie with me. Now you know what that means. Now here she's a married woman. So you're seeing the character of Potiphar's wife. Now Potiphar had bought a man in slavery. He put him in his home. But he put everything that he had under in his responsibility. That shows character on Potiphar's part. That's not agreeing with slavery. It's simply that the Bible, listen carefully, folks, the Bible records things historically as they happened, where they happened, and the way they happened. It does not mean that it approves of it. It's simply giving you a historical record of the way life was in ancient Egypt. And so here we have Joseph sold into the home of Potiphar. And Potiphar's wife lusts after Joseph because he is a fine-looking man. And the Bible says that she cried out to him and said, come lie with me. And Joseph shows you his character. He said, I can't do that. This man has brought me into his home. It's not right for me to do that. I will not do what you're asking me to do. He stuck with his principles and he stuck with his character that was right, his morality that was right, but it cost him dearly. For she went to her husband and she had made accusations against Joseph and said that he jerked her garment off of her and tried to molest her and tried to rape her. And she brought all of this lie and accusations. You see, friend, sin always enjoys other sin. A liar and a thief are the same as far as God's concerned, because one sin begets another sin. If she was an adulteress, what big step would it take for her to lie? No step. It's in the same category. And so the Bible says that she tried to destroy Joseph. Well, Potiphar sold, took him and sent him in. He didn't sell him. He sent him off into the jail. And he sent him into the jail because of what his wife had said to him. And so now here Joseph has done the right thing, but now he's locked up in jail again. He's been put in another pit. For he was in a pit and he was sold from that pit and now he's back in the pit into a dungeon. And friend, the dungeons of those days were not to be envied. It was a horrible place. Was God with Joseph? Yes, he was with him because he was about to teach him something else. While he was in this place, while he was in this pit, while he was in this dungeon, the Bible says that God had blessed Joseph and the keeper of the jail observed how that Joseph was so much bigger and better and greater than all the rest of the people locked in there that the scripture says that he elevated Joseph to a place of a high position where he literally was keeping the people in the jail. Now, can you imagine? Can you imagine? He started in a pit, sold into slavery, elevated to the top of the house of Potiphar. Then he's taken again and thrown back into a pit. And while he's in that pit, the jailer, the keeper of the jail, elevates Joseph back up to a place of high authority. Think about this. When someone escaped from that jail, or something happened inside that jailer would pay a dear price for what had happened. So he had to trust Joseph. But you see, my dear friend, if you've got the right character, if your spirit has not been broken, people will trust you. There's something about the character of a human being, of a man or a woman, that will come forth for others to see. You may talk about the thing that you really want. You may put something down, but deep down inside your soul, that's what you're really looking for. A lot of people, they condemn Christians. They make fun of us. They malign us. But the truth of the matter is, deep down inside, inside their soul, they're crying out for the very thing you've got. And what they're doing, may not even realize it. They're trying to destroy you and drag you down to feed their own flesh. But the truth is, in a way they can't even understand, they want you to succeed. They want to know that what you've got is really real. There's a lot of people out there that don't know if anything's real, but they're watching your life. And when you go through a hard time and you go through a time that makes no sense to anybody, yet your character stands true. Your faith in God Almighty is not shaken to the core. Your spirit is not broken. They see that. And you'd be surprised at how many of them want that very thing. You want to win somebody to the Lord? You want to win somebody to God? Do you want to see a soul saved? Then have a character, a testimony, and a life before them where you got something they want. We live in such a cheap, superficial religious world. Everybody's moved today by emotions. The system is set up where you go into the church house and the lights are turned down. The music is turned up. Everything is controlled. The environment is this controlled religious environment. And all they want you to do is to make some kind of an emotional response and to move your flesh and move your soul. And that won't get you anywhere. It's when you see how somebody lives through hell itself and you know the hand of God is on their life, that'll touch your spirit. And when it touches your spirit, it'll change you for the rest of your life. Amen. Amen, amen. Joseph had the right spirit. A great spirit was within him. A magnificent spirit dwelt within the bosom of Joseph. Let me tell you something, folks. Listen carefully to me. You'll only be a slave if you'll let Satan make you a slave. You're only a slave when you listen to the devil. Even though Joseph was sold into slavery, he was never a slave. Are you listening to me? You're listening to me today. A man is not a slave when he's sold into slavery. A man is a slave when he sees himself as a slave and sees no way out and sees no hope of ever getting any better or any hope of freedom at all. And he once and for all accepts his lot that he's a slave. I ain't no slave. Hallelujah to God, whom the Son has set free, is free indeed. I can say to every sin, I can say to every temptation, I can say to every devil, I can say to everything that comes my way in this world, I don't belong to you, and you have no power over me. I used to be a slave, but I am no more. So the character of Joseph began to shine in the darkest place. While he was locked up in the dungeon, the butler and the baker had visions, had dreams. And by the way, we have a dreamer in the prison. We have a dreamer. Once a dreamer, always a dreamer. Once somebody that lives by a vision, he'll always live by a vision. A dreamer is somebody that looks beyond what he sees before his eyes and sees the unseeable. He knows the unknowable. He embraces that which is invisible. Like it says in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 11, they looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And they're not looking for that city here. They're looking for it above. They're looking for the source of life. They begin to understand what life is really all about. They don't let themselves get puffed up like some little immature Christian. They don't let themselves get all puffed up in pride and start looking down their arrogant nose at the way you live and judge everything that you say and everything you do. After you've lived in this world for a while, you realize that sometimes life can get real rough. It can get real tough. It can get real hard. And instead of looking down at somebody, you get on your knees and start praying up to God for them. Then your character begins to build. Patience is building in your soul. So he's locked up in the prison. He's locked up in jail. By no fault of his own, he's an innocent man. And the butler and the baker come to him. And the butler and the baker have their dreams. Joseph interprets them. And then he says to the butler, sorry, they're going to hang you. But to the baker, or to the baker, they're going to hang you. To the butler, he says, your head's going to be lifted up. You're going to go back before Pharaoh.
And so the butler goes out and he goes before Pharaoh. And Joseph says, before you go, please remember me that I'm locked up in this hole. Remember me that I'm locked up in this hole. You know what happens? Like it happened so many times. When the butler got out, he forgot about Joseph. Forgot all about him. Forgot all about Joseph. Forgot all about him. So what did Joseph do? He waited. Patiently waited. That's where some of you are right now. The promises of God are real to you. You know God has never forsaken you and he never will. You know the word of the Lord is true. And you know that he that worketh in you will work it until the day of redemption. You know that he hath begun a good work in you. He will perform that. You know all that. And you're waiting. You're in that waiting mode right now. Well, the Bible said, I say, wait upon the Lord. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Wait on him, dear friend. God doesn't operate on your time clock. He operates on mine. I don't tell God to jump. I don't tell him when to do anything. I know how impatient I can get. But the Bible said tribulation worketh patience. Joseph is going to be elevated again. And this time, God has directly intervened. And they need something in Pharaoh's house. And the butler says, I know of someone who can interpret your dream, Pharaoh. I know him. And I promised him that I would say something and I forgot all about it because he was selfish. Very selfish. So they sent and called for Joseph, and Joseph came before Pharaoh, interpreted his dream, told him there'd be 7 years of great plenty, 7 years of famine. And I know I'm moving quickly, but I'm trying to bring you down to the point this morning. Joseph told Pharaoh. Pharaoh listened to Joseph. Pharaoh, by the hand of God, put Joseph over everything in his land. Second only to Pharaoh. God directly intervened. Listen, my dear Christian friend. God can move your boss's heart. God can move your wife's heart. God can move your husband's heart. God can move your family's heart. God can move the heart of people, and that's what it takes to change them. You can preach to them until you're blue in the face. You can preach to them, and I'm going to tell you right now, a lot of them well-meaning people that try to preach and push and just keep on and keep on, and you're not getting anything done, but they're just hardening themselves to you. Try prayer. Get on your knees and really cry out to God and call their name out. God came to this old hard devil in 1973 and moved my spirit and my soul. And for the first time in my 27 years on this earth, I felt God Almighty moving my soul. And it was that brought me under conviction and got me on my knees and got me saved. Nobody could ever push me into the kingdom of God. But that supernatural approach of God did. So he's in the prison, he's in the jail. They call him up. Call him before Pharaoh. He's raised up one more time. One more time. This time, you see, in the progressive steps of Joseph being raised up, God's preparing him for every elevation, for every level of elevation. Some of you are so happy because you're good grappers. I hate to be mad, but you're good grappers. You wouldn't know what to do if you didn't have something to grab about. I mean, really. And you feel comfortable in this perceived humble position, this victimized state that you live in. I'm serious. I mean, you think, well, you know, I said, whoa is me. And that's the kind of life you live. And if God ever began to move in your life and elevate you, raise you up, why, you would resist him like you wouldn't believe. But that's what he wants to do for you. If he can get you to the point where he can elevate you and lift you up, bring you to the table like Lodibar. Where did he find him? Where did he find him? He found him in Lodibar. That means a land of forsaken, broken, foreign dreams. And he brought him and he set him at the king's table. And when he set him down at the king's table, he said, who am I, a dog like me, for you to bring me into the king's table? But what was it that he said to him? Who was he doing it for? It wasn't for him. Who was he doing it for? He's doing it for Jonathan. David was saying, what can I do for Jonathan's sake? The Lord God Almighty loves His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants to bless us with spiritual blessings in heavenly places. He wants to lift us up from the dunghill. He wants to set us down at His table, hallelujah, to eat with God Almighty, to enjoy spiritual things, to walk before Him and be thou perfect, as He said to Abraham, hallelujah to God. I am what I am by the grace of God. I'm not a slave anymore. I don't live in a dunghill anymore. I am a child of God today. But some people can't handle that. They can't handle it. They can't handle it. But Mephibosheth made it okay for a while. He made it okay. Could you handle the changing of your life drastically? Could you handle it if God really began to move in your life and raised you up and you started ministering to people and you had something to give, something inside that somebody wanted? Well, so it happens with Joseph. And so it goes. And this latter part here is some of the most beautiful scripture in all the Bible. It really is. You can't read it without it moving you. In Genesis 45 and verse number 1. I want you to put yourself where these people are. I want you to put yourself with Joseph and his brethren. Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him, and he cried, cause every man to go out from me. This is personal and private. There are a lot of things that need to be personal and private. And there stood no man with him, watch this, while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. Boy, the guilt that flooded their soul. Oh, my. Oh, boy. Oh, man. Oh, I can't imagine how they felt. Joseph wasn't doing it to make them feel guilty. He was doing it because he longed for them. He loved them. It's hard for us, full of guile, little petty, backbiting, jealousies, nitpicking junk. How many people have nitpicking junk in their life? Now, we need honest people in here this morning. Nitpicking, backstabbing, Mickey Mouse junk. All right? And you think the Lord Jesus is like that. He's not. His motive toward you is as pure as the spring rain. Pure. His motive is pure. Here's our problem. We can't cipher it. We can't accept it. We can't understand it because we filter it through our own experience and our own feelings. Now, how many of you in here today, if I went up and I talked to you and I said, do you trust so-and-so? Well, I trust them so far. Do you believe what so-and-so said? Yeah, I believe most of it. Let's say I find this man, he's 75, 80 years old, and I go up to him and I say, what do you think about people? Well, you know, they're okay to a point. You know what they're saying? They're saying that my experience keeps me from really trusting men or believing them or having a pure relationship. Now, I'm being here right now. You're dating. You're dating. That person you're dating, you want to trust them, but you're not sure if you can trust them. Because you've been burned before, right? So your experience in the past directly affects your relationship with that individual right now, right? You base it on your experience with a human being, okay? Throw all that out. When you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, He'll never lie to you. He'll be pure and honest with you. And His relationship with you comes forth from a heart that truly does love you. He's pure, He's holy, He's undefiled. Did you notice when He was here 2,000 years ago? A priest could not touch a dead body. Could he? He'd be what? Defiled. But the Lord Jesus could. You know why? You can't defile him. You know why you can't defile him? There's nothing in him that can be defiled. The prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. That's what he said. Now listen to this. He wept aloud. The Egyptian house of Pharaoh heard. Joseph said to his brethren, I'm Joseph. Doth my father yet live? His brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. I guess they were. And Joseph said to his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near and he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt. Now listen carefully. Now therefore be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. That's your dreamer. That's your visionary. That's the person that looks beyond the circumstances and says the hand of God was in this. At the time, I might not have seen it, but I see it now. The hand of God is in this. Now in Genesis chapter number 50 and verse 15. And when Joseph's brethren saw their father was dead. Now watch this. Now notice the human nature here. When the brethren saw their father was dead, Jacob, Israel, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him. You know why they said that? Because they were comparing him with themselves. And they sent a messenger to Joseph saying, now here's the lie. They're going to butter Joseph up. Thy father did command before he died, saying, so shall ye say to Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin. For they did unto thee evil, and now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. You know what they're saying? They're saying, we don't trust you yet, Joseph. We really don't trust you. But we know that you respect our father enough to believe that if our father told you to do this, you're going to do what our father told you to do. That's what they just said. They just said that. And Joseph wept. You know why he wept? He wept because they still did not trust him. They still thought he was one of them. Now listen to this. This is beautiful. And his brother, verse 18, his brethren also went, fell down before his face. They said, behold, we be thy servants. See, they're doing everything they can physically. And Joseph said to them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? Am I God? But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass it as is this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore, fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. Can you see a difference between the character of Joseph and the character of his brethren? Can you see a difference between the character of the Lord Jesus Christ and our character? Now, don't come and bargain with him and reason with him and try to make, you know, make covenants with him. Just come to him and say, Lord Jesus, I know you're pure and I know you're holy and I know you're perfect and I know you know me like a book and I know you know every covenant I've tried to make with you, every promise I've tried to make, I've broken them and I failed you. But you know something, Lord Jesus, I believe you are who you say you are and I believe you are pure and holy and perfect and I believe you'll forgive me if I ask you to forgive me. And Lord Jesus, I want what you are and what you've got. Would you give to me who you are and what you have? I want of your character, your spirit, your purpose, who you are. I want you, Lord Jesus, to come alive inside me like you never have before. I need you, Lord Jesus. That's what we ought to say to him this morning. And maybe you'd like to do that right now when I'm finished. I'm done with the message. I'm finished. I'll pray that the day came that the brethren ever fully accepted what the Lord, Joseph, the type of Christ here, said to them and was to them. I pray they did. But until then, they were full of guilt and guile. How many of you in this house today are full of guilt and guile? Let's stand up. Father, in thy holy name, Lord, I brought what you laid on my heart. I pray it'll help somebody. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.